Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
Not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns.
You know why
fans.
It's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos. Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Saturday at the fair. Steve Thompson here, Lindsey Brown on site, our producer, Jonathan Loback in the studio, Twins and Sox later from Chicago. Our lineup card beginning at 5:30 today. We still have a lot of great guests coming up from the fair. DNR is going to send a guest over, and they've done this for a lot of years at the fair, and it is Conservation Officer Dustin Romling. And he has his canine partner with. So that'll be pretty cool. We'll be doing that in a few minutes. And then at 4:35, State Trooper Troy Christensen will be joining us. Talk rules of the road, the new lane sharing law. And once again, Sergeant Troy Christensen from the State Patrol will be joining us here at the fair. Right now, I want to go outdoors. Steve Carney joining us. StepeCarneyOutdoors.com. And, Steve, I have a feeling with these much cooler temps, water temps are going to drop in a hurry.
Oh, I hope so, Steve. Good afternoon. Happy fair time. Boy, this was a horrible week for fishing, I got to tell you. I struggled this week. It was really, really tough. You know, we got a big cold front came in yesterday, and it's going to drop the water a little bit, but I don't think it's going to stay very long. But it's August, you know, it's just, August is tough. And I was on probably 5-6 lakes this week, and they were all really tough. So I'm not happy about myself right now, but it is August. I did get in the field today to check tree stands, check the terrain, see what's going on, and there's a lot of things happening. There's a lot of mosquitoes, I'll tell you that. I got bites on my bites today out in the woods because everything is so overgrown with all the rain we've had. So mosquitoes are bad, but it looks like the acorns are doing really well. There's a really good acorn crop, which really bodes well, and everything is just so over. So I was cutting a few shooting lanes today in my bow spots and, you know, doing a little checking of this and that. Crops look good. So, you know, everything looks pretty much routine, you know, pretty much the way it should be.
All right, Steve, when do you put the boat away? Are you going to wait a while?
I didn't get that, Steve. I lost you there for a second.
Yeah, are you going to put the boat away anytime soon, or are you going to have that out for a while?
Oh, no way, man. I'm going to be probably fishing till Thanksgiving. last year.
All right.
Last year, I think my last guide group was November 18th, and, you know, November is awesome, October is really good, but August and September can be really tough, so you got to kind of, you know, tough it out, and, you know, it'll get better. It's just right now we're in this, you know, doldrums. There's a lot of algae going on at a lot of lakes. Water temperatures are 74, 75. There's a ton of food in the lakes. It's just a tough time. So you got to get through this, and once we get into September, you know, we got the duck season not that far away, dove season in like 7-8 days. You know, I'm preparing for that right now, getting my decoys ready and, you know, getting all my gear ready. I'll be out in South Dakota and the North Dakota border on the 1st for the dove opener, which is everything opens on the 1st. You've got the small game season, bear season, everything starts on September 1. So a lot of stuff happening here in about another week, so I'm really looking forward to just leaving the boat, sit where it is, and get out there and, you know, chase some doves.
All right, we'll give the boat a break, and Steve will do it again in 1 week. I'll be here at the fair and look forward to visiting with you.
All right, sounds great, Steve. Have a great day.
There is Steve Kearney, stevekearneyoutdoors.com, and he joins us each and every Saturday. By the way, our outdoors coverage continues on Sunday between 5 and 6. Rob Driesline from the Outdoor News has a show filled with great guests and great info. That is Rob from the Outdoor News, Sundays between 5 and 6. And right now, Paul Ryan joins. He stopped by. And Shanghai Henry's. How
Shanghai
far away is
Shanghai Henry's.
How far away?
If you go to the International Bazaar, you can't miss it. You got to walk by Shanghai's to get in.
Now, Paul, you and I met a number of years ago. Where did we meet? Tell us the story. Are you still an off-ice official?
I am. I still work for the NHL as an off-ice official. I actually started in 1991 as a video replay official. The North Stars left. I kept in touch with the league. In 2000, the Wild came back. One of the first days I worked, I ran into you in the lobby. You asked me some questions. I said, unfortunately, I can't answer them because I got to go through the league. So I have been an off-ice official ever since. So
yeah, and so you're at the X for all 41 and
pretty much every game. I either run the regular clock, the penalty clock, and I keep them. I keep in line in the penalty box, make sure they behave themselves.
That is awesome. Now, how did you end up here at the fair and working for Shanghai Henry's?
Yeah, so Shanghai Henry's, he's a great guy. His name is Hank Staten, and he came to us with an idea. He said, I got a really good idea for this appetizer, but I kept trying to make it, and it kept falling apart. It's that cream cheese puff, the pimento cheese puff.
Sure.
And so he tried it at home, didn't work. We have a machine that makes these. We've been making these for 14 years. We actually made deep-fried ranch last year, so that's our machine.
Oh,
he came to us and said, can you do this? We did it. One thing I'll tell you about this, we have made a number of these appetizers. The cost of the ingredients to go into his were the highest I've ever seen, but he said, I don't care. It tastes really good, so we want to do it. So that's what he did.
Yeah, and I sampled one earlier. They're great.
Well, guess what? I got samples for a lot of people out here, too. So
yeah,
this is going to be fun.
If you want to have a sample, I know a guy in the front row there. I'll definitely try a sample.
It's nothing wrong with free food, right?
All right, so once again, Paul.
Yeah.
Good to see you.
Thanks.
Thanks for stopping by.
I appreciate that.
Henry's. And what is the item called? Again?
It's the cream pimento cream puffs.
And it was
pimento
really good.
Pimento cream cheese puffs.
And,
yeah.
And then there was a little like.
Yeah, it's a pepper jelly that really pairs well with it. So
that was really good.
Yeah, I'll be giving
Lindsay,
them out as soon as we're done.
Up. Were you good?
I'm a crunch person, and the crunch was there.
Yeah, crunch was there.
Awesome.
I thought they were really good.
That's great.
Hey, thanks for stopping
My
by.
My pleasure, Steve. Take care, and we'll see you at the. At the Treasure Island Arena, right? Not the X?
Yeah, what are we supposed to call it? Yeah.
We'll see you down there.
Yeah, we'll figure it out. All right, there he is, Paul Ryan. Good to see you. Thanks for bringing that by, and see you folks out here. Want to give it a try. When we come back, we have a DNR guest, Conservation Officer Dustin Romling. He is one of the newest canine handlers with the DNR, and he brought Canine Cora to the fair, and we're going to meet them in a moment here on News Talk, 830-WCCO.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5.
I know where I'm going to bet from now on.
Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
It is a cloudy, cool day here at the State Fair. 66 officially. The crowds are huge, and each and every year the DNR is good enough to send some folks over to visit with us. And Conservation Officer Dustin Romling's joining us from the Worthington area. And you are one of the newest canine handlers for the DNR. And who's your partner?
So my canine partner is Canine Cora. She is the only female canine that we have in our division. We have 8 canine units, and she's the only female.
And how long have you worked with canines? I understand before you joined the DNR, you worked in other areas of law enforcement, but you have worked with a canine partner.
Yeah, so this is my first canine partner with the DNR. This is my 3rd canine partner total. Prior to joining the Minnesota DNR, I was I handled 2 dual-purpose canines for other law enforcement agencies, 1 German Shepherd and 1 Belgian Malinois.
Yeah, and she's a black lab, and how old is she?
So she's just roughly about a year and a half old. We went through our initial training, started at the end of February, ended at the end of May. And, yeah, ever since then, we've been working the road and trying to get as much action as we can.
Yeah, and how does she help? Is it once again, in your job as a conservation officer in law enforcement, I mean, is it, detecting illegal game, et cetera?
Yeah, so these dogs, they're trained in a lot of different areas. So what she's trained in, kind of her big thing that we're going to deal with is finding missing people, missing hunters, suspects that ran away from us or other law enforcement agencies. With the labs in our unit, it's very unique because we have GPS collars that we can attach to them, and we can send these dogs out on their own without a leash, without me. I can send her into a big forested area, and she can just work it all by herself. And I just watch on the GPS, look at where she's gone, follow her path, and then wait for her to bark. And that's really unique because most law enforcement canines, they have to be worked on lead because of, the fear of the apprehension on the back end.
So once again, this is more or less her job is to help locate human beings that maybe got lost when they're in a park or out in the field, et cetera. So it really doesn't have a lot to do with, game and fish law enforcement.
So, and that's just the one piece of it. So
sure.
We do a lot with game and fish as well. So another big thing that we are going to be dealing with, especially coming up this hunting season, is she's trained to locate firearms and shell casings. So if we have, if we assist a law enforcement agency that, looking for a firearm that was thrown from the vehicle. For us, looking for shell casings that somebody shot from the side of the road, looking for a lost gun. She's also trained in article searches, so anything with human odor on it she can find. So if somebody's out hunting and they lose something, or if there's an agency that is looking for evidence, we can find that. But then on the game and fish side, she is one of the 5 dogs in our unit trained to detect zebra mussels. So we'll sit at boat accesses and check on boats and trailers and make sure that nobody's bringing zebra mussels in or out of these lakes.
Man, the law is pretty specific on that. You got to make sure your live wells, your boats are clean because we don't want that moving around for sure.
Very much so. Yeah, and the last piece of it is she's trained to detect our common game animals that are hunted. So she can smell out pheasants, grouse, waterfowl, turkey and venison. So.
Yeah, and the relationship with your canine partner, I would assume she's with you at home and the whole, 100% of the time you're with this dog.
Yeah, exactly. I spend, basically all day and all night with her. Like, I spend probably more time with her than I do with my wife and kids just because she comes with me every shift, and she's home with me every time I'm home. So
yeah, and what is the typical service life? This is the 3rd in your career. First with the DNR, 5 years, 6 years, and I suppose there's ongoing training as well.
Correct. Yep. Yeah. So there's ongoing training. As far as the lifespan of the dog, it's really dependent on the dog's health.
Sure.
We try to get them, to about that age 9 or 10 range. Sometimes you retire earlier based on health issues or performance issues, and sometimes you can push it further. It's dependent on the dog.
Yeah, and I would assume the ongoing training is pretty interesting, that you have to keep reintroducing the certain scents, whether it's fish or game or other things that you're looking for.
Yeah, for sure. We do a lot of monthly training. So outside of the initial training, which was 12 weeks, we probably average 30 to 40 hours of training per month additional outside of that. So.
Yeah, and does the training, do you need to come to the cities, or is this the ongoing training, or is it, you know, out in the Worthington area where you're based?
Yeah, so some of it is out in the Worthington area on my, you know, regular work shifts.
Sure.
And then once per month, we have our entire canine unit get together at random areas throughout the state. Usually it's in the Camp Ripley Brainerd area, but
okay.
It's subject to go all over, and then we all train as a unit for 2.5 to 3 days.
And then I suppose you got duty here at the fair, and I bet you and your partner are very popular over at the DNR booth.
For sure, yeah. She's pretty popular. I don't know about me, but she's definitely pretty popular.
Right.
But, yeah, we had two demos today. We are going to do two demos tomorrow, 11 and 1 o'clock. And then this next weekend, it's going to be Sunday and Monday, we're doing two demos each day.
And once again, DNR Conservation Officer Dustin Romling joining us. And with canine partner Cora, who's out at the fair. What's part of the demo if people come out to the fair? Maybe they can't get out here today, but tomorrow, what would they see? What would Cora do?
So we kind of just go over the canine unit. We first of all explain
sure.
what the canine unit, you know, what it's all made up of, introduce all the handlers and the dogs, and then we kind of break it down and we kind of teach people how our dogs are taught. We kind of show them progressions. We show them obedience. We show them how we teach the dogs with how to smell odors to begin with. And then we bring out different boxes to show them. We do an article search. Cora, that's her thing that she does by herself. We grab a member from the audience, and we take their car keys and chuck it in the grass and have her find the car keys.
Oh, wow.
We do a variety of things. We get the kids involved as much as we can. We make them you know, trainers for the day, and they love that. So,
yeah, and I suppose at home when the workday is done, does she just kind of relax like a member of the family? And
yeah, she chills out a lot when she's on her days off. Gets her sleep caught up.
That's yeah, I can imagine, though, the state fair is a lot of stimulus. There's a lot of smells on the ground. I mean, just what we're surrounded. I'm sure she'd love to have cookies. And then beyond that, you know, we had the vet on earlier, Dr. Gene Gaske, and, you know, maintaining proper weight and keeping her in good shape. And I'm sure when you guys are out in the field, she burns a lot of calories, and you got to manage that.
For sure, yeah. I mean, their diet or their amount of food per day, you know, it's adjusted based on their activity at times. You know, so definitely during our early training, when we were training every day, multiple days a week, you were burning through calories quick, so you increase their food intake and...
Yeah, and you probably got that with you, and you probably got plenty of water for her as well. It's been a hot, humid summer for sure.
It has been a hot, humid summer. But, yeah, we take good care of them, and, you know, all of our canine squads are equipped with heat alarms, so we constantly measure the temperature in our vehicles. We have alerts that are sent to our cell phones, so they're pretty well protected in this heat.
How many units are there scattered around the state? Once again, you're down in the southwest, the
yep.
Worthington area. How many all over the state?
So we have eight dogs in
okay.
the canine unit currently, kind of, you know, strategically placed throughout the state. You know, we got two kind of in the southwest, one by Rochester, one by Detroit Lakes, kind of two in the metro area, two harbors, Deer River. It's kind of all over the place.
Yeah, and then about you in the DNR, you were working for other law enforcement agencies. Did you always want to be a CO in the DNR?
Yeah, I grew up hunting and fishing with my dad.
Yeah.
That's all we did, and riding four-wheelers. So it was always a passion of mine, and, you know, kind of always thought about that. Went the traditional route, was a city cop and a deputy sheriff for 14 years, and then decided to make the switch.
Yeah, and then what about canine? Is that another interest you had when you got into law enforcement?
Yeah. I grew up, my dad raised German Shorthairs, so I grew up with hunting dogs and just always loved them, and had the opportunity when I was a young deputy to take a dog on, and I took that opportunity pretty quick.
Well, it is good to meet you. Good to meet Cora, and once again, thanks for stopping by. I know it's a busy, busy time for you at the fair.
You bet. No, thanks for having us. We appreciate
yeah.
it.
And there he is. Once again, nice round of applause for our guest here at the fair. And once again, that is Conservation Officer Dustin Romling and his partner, Cora. here at News Talk 830 WCCO. Quick break. We'll have an update on the weather. And then our law enforcement theme will continue. We have a state trooper joining us. And Sergeant Troy Christensen will join us. We'll talk rules of the road. And that new lane sharing law, we'll get into that as well from the fair here on News Talk 830 WCCO.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns
You know
fans.
Why it's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos. Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Right now, we're pleased to be joined by Minnesota State Trooper Troy Christensen and Sergeant Christensen. Good enough to join us here at the fair. And pleasure to meet you. Thanks for taking the time out on a great day at the fair. This is my kind of weather.
It's unusual to be this cool. You actually need a jacket today.
Yeah, I'm glad I found a clean one in the closet to throw on. I haven't needed one in a long time, so I'm glad I was able to find a clean one. But thanks for coming out today. And we want to talk rules of the road, and really a big one, a new law that I think has thrown some motorists for a loop, and that is that new lane-sharing law involving motor vehicles and motorcycles. And In your experience, what are we seeing on the roads? What does the law say specifically?
So in Minnesota, we're the only sixth state to have this law, but it's only lane splitting is when traffic is moving, but it's only in 25-mile-an-hour zones or less, and you cannot exceed 15 miles an hour over what traffic is moving. The lane filtering is when you're in the traffic stopped, and that's when the motorcycles are able to move forward and go to the front of the front of the line of the vehicles. It's just supposed to speed up traffic and help traffic flow. But there's certain areas you cannot lane split. It's in roundabouts. You can't be moving around vehicles or school zones, work zones, or on-ramps, off-ramps. So this law is definitely different. It's real hard to be sharing your lane with another motorcycle when you're stopped in traffic. So I haven't seen a lot of it, but I've seen it a couple times in my personal vehicle, and it's just really different to have a motorcycle right next to you. And it's real important when you're making your turns to make sure you're staying in your lane so you're not going to end up clipping a motorcycle as you're making your left or right turn.
I know a number of years ago I went out to L.A. and my youngest daughter was visiting schools, and we were visiting a couple of colleges in the L.A. area. But I read up about the notorious L.A. freeways and traffic, and motorcycles can lane split, and there's a lot of stop and go. And it took a while to get used to it. It was kind of like, whoa, they can do that? But so it's happened to me here. But what have we seen so far? Are people getting used to it? Are they abiding by it? Are they doing it correctly?
We haven't really seen a lot of it so far. Okay. So a lot of the motorcycles probably aren't comfortable doing it yet. Yeah. So we need to make sure we keep educating people. We have seen some of the lanes splitting at highway speeds, and you cannot lane split at highway speeds. So if you're going 70 miles an hour, you can't be splitting through vehicles.
You're going to get a ticket.
You're going to get a ticket.
Yeah.
Usually a speeding ticket, and then also improper lane usage ticket as well.
Yeah, so it is one of those that is a work in progress. I know I was stopped at a light, and there was a vehicle next to me, and a motorcycle came up between us at the light, came to the front of the line, and then proceeded through the light when it turned green, and that is 100% lawful for them to do that.
Correct. Yeah. So it's going to be good for the motorcycles just to keep them safer so they're not stuck in traffic, but it's just going to take a while. In Minnesota, we only see them 4 or 5 months of the year.
Yeah.
And we've already had 37 motorcycle fatals this year, so we're already up from last year at this time. So we just need to make sure we educate people. And the riding season is just going to start to pick up as the weather cools down. So we want to make sure we keep everybody safe on the roadway.
Yeah, and that is such an important point, you know, the visibility. It is hard to see. I lost a brother many years ago in northeast Minneapolis because someone didn't see him on his motorcycle. And he got hit, didn't survive the wreck. And it's just one of those where, you know, during this season when motorcycles are out and about, you've got to look twice. You got to look three times when you're making a lane change or making a turn to make sure a motorcycle isn't there.
Right. That just goes back to a lot of people are distracted while they're driving. We have too many distractions in the vehicles. So we just need to eliminate the distractions while we're driving and focus on driving and paying attention to what's going on around you.
Yeah, and, you know, you bring up a great point. Motor vehicles have never been safer with all the onboard equipment, the technology, the airbags, the seat belts, some of the warning systems that are built into vehicles if you drift from your lane. But if you're holding a phone or looking at your phone or looking at a display or eating or shaving or putting on makeup, you're not paying attention to the road.
Right, exactly. So we just need to eliminate the distractions. Minnesota, we've been a hands-free law for several years now. And last year, we've written over 20,000 tickets for just the hands-free violation. So we're taking it seriously. We want to make sure people are aware of the dangers of it. It's just a bad habit. So people just need to get out of the habit of having the phone in the hand and put it down.
State Trooper Sergeant Troy Christensen joining us here at the FARA News Talk 830 WCCO. Back to that. And that distracted driving and people using their phones. I still see it, you know, in people using their phones. Is it just a never-ending education, write tickets, continue to educate? It is illegal. Kind of like seatbelts were once upon a time. It seems to me seatbelt compliance is pretty good now.
We're at about a 96% compliance for seatbelts, so we're great, but it's still that 4% that are being involved in fatal crashes. But a lot of the times we have other factors. We'll have alcohol or impairment with not being belted properly. So we need to continue that trend of seatbelt usage, but we need to also kind of switch it over to distracted driving as well. And the hands-free law, the first violation is a $175 fine. And then the second violation is a $365 fine, but it's also a moving violation. So it is going to affect your insurance, just like a speeding ticket. So you're going to get hit not only from the fine, but also from your insurance company as well.
Yeah, and with technology and smartphones and the technology built into motor vehicles, there's really no excuse to not be able to comply with the hands-free law and still be able to take a call if someone needs to get in touch with you. It's all generally built into every vehicle now.
Yeah, it's important just to take a few minutes and get your phone set up. My kid is at that age. He's 20. So, of course, he's always listening to his podcast or whatever.
Right.
And he's good. He sets his phone up, throws it in the glove box, and off he goes. And he still can use a one-touch activation or Bluetooth, and you still can use your phone. It's just important to not have it in your hand and focus on driving.
One of the things we've visited with Mike Hansen over the years, and he's the director of the Office of Traffic Safety with the Minnesota Department of Public Safety, and that is the excessive speed we're seeing on our roads. And that's really all over the state. I drive mostly in the metro every now and then. We'll go visit family in South Dakota and head down to Mankato and take 60 out to Worthington and pick up the interstate. But here in the cities, there are some people that are driving insanely fast.
Yeah, unfortunately, I just heard two driving complaints when I was on my way from Rochester to the state fair today, and both of them were excessive speeds, two vehicles racing over 100 miles an hour.
Oh.
And so it's just tough for us to be able to get people in position to get these vehicles stopped. But we know speed's an issue, and that's why we're going to keep these extra speed waves going on to make sure we keep enforcing it to keep the roadways safe for everybody else on the roadways as well.
And what do you think the cause of that is? Why are we seeing more and more excessive speed? And I'm not talking 5 or 10 miles an hour over the speed limit, but people driving really fast and weaving in and out, really dangerous stuff.
I think during COVID, you know, we had lower traffic volumes, so with the lower traffic volumes, people felt safer to drive a faster speed. But a lot of it also now is street racing. It's all over the United States. And it's just people are amped up with they're not getting caught and not being enforced enough. And that's why it's important that we have these extra speedways so we're out there actively stopping cars for these high speeds.
Yeah, and I think motorists have a responsibility. If they see someone driving with excessive speed or erratically, it is helpful to call that in. It is helpful if the public does get involved in that case when they see someone who's clearly endangering others.
That's important. If you see somebody driving excessively or dangerously, call 911. Give us a description of the vehicle, location, direction of travel, license plate, and then we'll try and get somebody in position. Or if we have our helicopter up, we'll try and locate it with that as well.
Those tips help. I mean, those chronic speeders and crazy drivers, I mean, something needs to be done, and the public has a role in that.
Right. We want to keep the roadways safe for everybody, and if you do see some aggressive driving or high speeds, call it in, and we will take. We'll try and get the vehicle, get people in position, and take enforcement action.
One of the other items that I think, with the legalization of cannabis here in the state of Minnesota, has probably created challenges for law enforcement, whether it's state troopers, local law enforcement, and impaired driving. And that has been a big topic, you know, the old DWI, but there are other forms of impaired driving. It could be prescription drugs, illegal drugs, cannabis, you name it. That has got to be an added challenge for law enforcement.
Yeah, we're seeing, you know, different types of impairment on the roadway now. With cannabis, it's a little harder just because you don't smell it like the odor of alcohol, but impairment's still impairment. So if people are impaired, we're still able to determine if they're impaired on some type of substance. We just have to determine what it is. And that's when we have our drug recognition experts come out, and we'll be able to determine what type of drug they're on, and then it just goes through the DWI process.
Yeah, and I also think that, and we've heard this, that there are enhanced enforcement. You know, certain days, certain times of the year when impaired driving is a bigger problem. Is that true, or is it an issue 24/7?
It's always an issue, but we always focus on the weekends, Friday, yep. Saturday, and Sundays. And then this upcoming Labor Day weekend is a big holiday weekend. It's kind of the last weekend for summer before school starts, so we'll have extra enforcement on the roadways, just trying to keep it safe for everybody.
And joining us is Sergeant Troy Christensen from the Minnesota State Patrol, good enough to join us out here at the fair. And impaired driving is serious. You talked about some of the penalties for distracted driving or, you know, using their phone while they're driving, which is illegal here in the state of Minnesota. Once again, the expense associated with impaired driving is really off the charts. There's the fine, there's the impact to insurance, but it goes far beyond that.
Yeah, there's a lot of fines with the DWI. It's going to cost over $10,000 just for a simple DWI.
First one,
but then it goes out after that. But the bigger picture is if you're involved in a crash and you're impaired, then you're going to face felony charges, criminal vehicle operation charges, and that's going to be more significant. And worse yet, if you're involved in a fatal crash and you're impaired and somebody's killed, then you're going to have felony charges on you, and more than likely you're going to be going to prison for a while.
Yeah, and we do see the chronic offenders, driving privileges can be revoked. There's stories in the news, as you mentioned, about people, you know, spending time in prison for it. So there are certainly consequences. But I also think it just goes back to making that decision. If you've been out or if you've been at someone's house watching a football game and you're not prepared to drive, ride share, get a ride, stay put. There are a lot of other options.
There's a lot of options, and it's just important to plan ahead. If you're going to know you're going to go into a party, just plan ahead, have somebody pick you up, take advantage of ride shares, cabs, anything, just to, so you're not behind the wheel, so you stay safe and everybody else on the roadway is safe as well.
I would say, you know, one of the biggest challenges as a state trooper, and I think this is true for anyone in law enforcement, when you do come upon the scene of an accident, especially something that, you know, was preventable, that, you know, it involved impaired driving and someone was seriously injured or killed. That's got to be a very difficult part of the job.
That's the hardest part, is when you're any type of fatal crash that you investigate, you know it's changing people's lives forever, and you have to figure out why and how the crash happened, and then trying to explain it to the family that lost their loved one, and make sure you keep the person that's at fault accountable for the actions that he committed.
And I want to circle back around before we run out of time, but motorists do have a role in this, and they can help law enforcement. If you see a reckless driver, someone driving with excessive speed, weaving in and out of traffic, people do have the ability, even if you have to pull off to the side of the road or get off the road, to call in the information. That does assist. It helps.
It helps us a lot, and we encourage people to do that, because we can't be everywhere, but we can try and get into position to stop these drivers, not only to keep the person that's behind the wheel safe, but everybody else on the roadway as well.
Well, it's certainly good to meet you. Thanks for coming out to the fair today. Great to visit with you.
Yeah, thanks. And if you're around on Monday, it's State Patrol Day, so we'll be in the northwest corner. So we'll have a bunch of troopers up there. We'll have a different we'll have our crash reconstruction team up there. We'll have our special response team, our recruiting team, and we'll have dispatchers up there. We'll have a lot of people in the northwest section, so it's by the hangar bar.
Oh, okay. So as you enter the fairgrounds from the transit hub up in that part of the fairgrounds?
Yeah. Yes, that's where it's at.
All right. So that is Monday?
Monday.
All right. Very good. Well, thanks for stopping by.
Yeah, thank you.
Much appreciated. Once again, Sergeant Troy Christensen, Minnesota State Trooper, joining us here at the Minnesota State Fair. Rules of the road. And once again, impaired driving, distracted driving, we all share the road. So please be careful out there. Follow the speed limit. Once again, on the way to the fairgrounds today, there were a couple of characters. It's like, where are you going? If you're headed to the fair, you'll get there. Slow down. Quick break. We'll have more here on News Talk 830-WCCO. All right, we have all the news, all the weather at 5, and we're going to be joined by Chris Tubbs, producer of The Lake Show, after 5, ahead of the Twins and the White Sox, and Chris Elston, former producer, now with Lindis, who's here at the fair. Chris, I'm looking forward to it. We've only got a second. I will talk to you following the news. Got it? Chris Elston coming up.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And you're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of Browns.
You know why
fans.
It's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos.
Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.